Good morning. Hi, how are you? This is The Breakfast Show with Priscilla, and it's Thursday, which means Em is in the building. Welcome, Em.
Good morning.
Thank you.
Now, I was thinking, Em, we've been doing this for quite some time. We had the appeal where we had a bit of a break from the Hi, It's Em segment.
That's right.
And we got so many new listeners from not only the Geelong area, but abroad.
How wonderful.
I thought, why not just reintroduce yourself to the ones that are listening and introduce yourself to the brand new fam members. Are you okay with that?
Yeah, I can.
Give
do
us
that.
Your amazing life, who you are, the snapshot, because I think I'm going to learn something new about you right now.
Oh, goodness, how long have you got? So I am a naturopath.
Woo!
And I am fascinated by the body, absolutely fascinated by the body. And you may hear my catch cry that we are wonderfully made in our segments, and it's totally true.
That is.
Like, the more I learn about the body, the more amazed I am, and cannot discount that we are created. We have a creator, and he's good.
Yes.
You said talk about me, not, yeah. Well, I can't talk about me without talking about the Lord.
I knew it. This is Em. This is who she is. Now, we've had a lot of people that have called in, that have emailed saying, hey, how can we find out information about Em? Are you happy for me to just give the email address for the emails to come through?
Yes.
And then we'll pass the info to you?
Absolutely, and I will follow those up.
And you actually do. So if you want to talk to Em, if you want to get in contact with her, please email us at listen@963.com.au. Now, Em, how long have you been a naturopath for?
I've been a naturopath for about 10 years. I did take a hiatus from actually doing naturopathy because I moved into mental health.
Right.
And specifically youth mental health and drug and alcohol issues. Mm-hmm. And I worked in that sector for about 7 years, and I found that I was still bringing in my naturopathic understanding of everything. And so I thought, you know what, I feel called to meld the two together. So that's sort of my niche, I guess you could say, but I do help anybody with any kind of, you know, and if I don't, obviously, if I don't know how, I will refer on to someone who does. But yeah, that's my passion.
That's so cool. And we love you, Em, because you just bring everything to our level of understanding, because there's so many different technological terms. Is that how you say it?
Yeah, there's a lot of Latin in there.
Yeah, a lot of that in there. And then you just bring it to us at a breakfast table, because that's what I imagine when we're talking to you. Yeah. We're having toast and some cereal, and you just talk about our bodies and how we are wonderfully made. Now, Em, catch us up with where we have been and where we will go today.
Alrighty. So we're going to talk a little bit about deficiencies over the next few weeks.
Yes.
Yes. And last week we talked about iron deficiency.
That was great.
Thank you.
Learned a lot from that.
Yeah,
thanks.
Iron's really, it's really interesting. Well, I think they're all interesting, but but iron, remember, was our little public transport.
Yes.
Guy.
Yes. Yes.
Yep. So he gets transported around the body on transferrin, and we talked a little bit about how inflammation can impact your iron readings. So today I thought we might move into what can create that inflammation and absorption issues.
Now, this is me sitting in your class. Mm-hmm. Inflammation, a lot of people suffer from that.
Mm.
In all different, it's not just when you've got a sore knee or something. Mm-mm. It can appear in so many areas in the body.
Absolutely.
So
yes.
I'm excited, because I have had inflammation in my knee, which I know had caused quite a few different issues, but I'm interested to actually dive into inflammation.
Yeah.
This is going to be really helpful. Well, for me, I'm sitting in the front row and my pen is not sharp, because I don't use a sharpener for my
sharpen
pen.
Your pens?
My pen is full of ink, ready for classes, teacher M. Here we go.
Alrighty. So let's dive in, shall
we?
Yeah,
let's go.
Okay. So, well, let's just start with what is inflammation again. So inflammation is the activation of your immune system. So if we break it down to, like, you know, you scratch yourself, for example, if you scratch yourself on a thorn bush or something, you'll see on the surface of your skin, you'll see redness. It'll swell. It may bleed, but it might be sore to touch. Those signs, so the redness, the swelling, the pain, that's all signs of inflammation.
Okay.
And that it happens because you've got lots of different immune cells that come to the area to start healing the body. okay, to start healing up that scratch, repairing all of the scratch in the walls, in the cellular, you know, between the cellular structures and things, like getting down to the microscopic situation here. All of these little cells, yeah, come together to basically cement that wall back up.
That's beautiful. I can picture that straight away. And it's straight away. There's not like a 2-hour, 2-week delay. They just get to work.
Pretty much, yeah. Woo! There's a number of different types of, like, or different pathways of the immune system, that's a whole nother series to go into. But basically the immune system is activated when inflammation happens.
We are talking about inflammation, Em.
Yes, we are. And I just wanted to bring, and we're talking about it in the context of iron because it can really throw out your iron readings, and I think it's really important to understand.
Yeah.
Because what happens often, I see people will come in and they'll say, oh, no, my iron's fine. I got it tested. I'm like, can I see those test results, please? And so we look at it and it's usually often just ferritin that's been tested. Now, if you remember from last week, if there's any inflammation in your body, mm-hmm. ferritin is known as an acute phase reactant. So it pulls, that means that ferritin holds onto the iron because of the inflammation. So our reading is false, basically. And so that inflammation can come from anywhere. It can be, you know, obesity is an inflammatory condition. Depression can be an inflammatory condition. There's a hypothesis that it is an inflammatory condition. You can have any chronic disease, whether it's a gut disease, so Crohn's, celiac, you know, IBS, they're all inflammatory.
Wow.
Arthritis, like anything where you've got an autoimmune, basically, anything autoimmune, you've got systemic inflammation. But even just gut issues itself, if you're not regular, mm-hmm. If you're getting pain or, you know, gut symptoms, you can pretty much bet you've got inflammation in your gut. And so all of that is going to throw out your ferritin reading.
Wow, that's brilliant. We need to bring all of our blood tests to you for you to have a proper look at it.
Buckle up. Yeah. No.
Click. I put two belts on. I've got a double one on today.
The gut is so fascinating. Okay, so let's start with the gut structure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it actually includes everywhere from entry to exit. Let's say that. So when you've got gut issues, we look at that full structure.
Right.
Okay, so we start with your mouth mm-hmm. and look at dental hygiene. Everywhere, like we are a walking microbiome or collection of microbiomes, basically. So we have bacteria everywhere, our mouth included, and the population of bacteria mm-hmm. is higher on our entry points, if that can make sense.
Yeah. Okay.
So there's a lot of bacteria in our mouth that we need to start the digestion process.
Ah.
We also have enzymes that when you chew, they are released in the saliva and that starts the breakdown of the food, and then you swallow the food and it goes down into your stomach. And then you've got a number of different chemicals in there. So you've got gastrin, pepsin, and hydrochloric acid mm-hmm. that are all released again from the cells in your stomach. And they help to break down the food a little bit more. So that's when they start to cleave things off, like the, you know, break down the fats and the proteins and the carbohydrates and things like that. And then you've got, you know, your side, what I like to call your side organs. Which is like your gallbladder and your pancreas. And
do you know, I've had my gallbladder taken out.
Have you?
Yeah, when I was 15.
Okay, yeah, okay. And well, I won't ask personal questions, but that can actually impact digestion because your gallbladder is where it's your bile is stored, and that actually impacts your fat digestion.
Yes.
So, yes. So
I can say yes to that because it certainly does.
It does, mm. yes. And so that's something to be mindful of as well, obviously, for people who have had that occur. And all of these sort of things, it gets to the intestine eventually, and that's where we're going to spend most of our time talking.
Ooh.
Because that's where a lot of the absorption happens.
Now, Breakfast Show family, in case you didn't know, Em loves talking about the gut because it is so, she likes talking about the body, but the gut excites her to a whole nother level. It's quite comfortable here in the gut.
Yeah, I like the gut. You don't want to stay there too long, though.
No.
And that actually is a great segue into we don't want anything staying in our gut for too long.
Oh, nice.
Can cause inflammation in and of itself.
Yikes. Mm. Okay.
So I will talk more about how we get things regular and moving sort of towards the end. Mm-hmm. We've left the stomach and we've passed the gallbladder and the pancreas. Mm-hmm. And, you're probably familiar with the pancreas. That's where insulin kind of comes into the story, which is, again, another series that we can talk about. So, let's log that one away. We'll talk about insulin at another point in time.
Right.
And then we go into the intestine, the small intestine, which is – so let's start with the duodenum, which is that first part of the small intestine.
How long is the small intestine?
Oh, you've got me – yeah.
I'm going to find out. I'm going to find out.
Very long.
Yeah. Do you know what?
Do you know?
That's enough for me.
What this is something that I do remember from uni, which I was just like, that is amazing.
Yeah.
Because the small intestine actually has, like, it's got what we call microvilli in on the inside, in the lumen. The
what
lumen
is
like the tube, the inside of the tube, right? That's so the cells have, like, microvilli are like these little waves, like little prongs, I suppose.
Oh.
I can't think of the, like, that help move particles
like
through
seaweed?
The tube. Sort of like seaweed. Yeah, perfect. That's a great, great analogy. But they're part of the
amazing
cell, right? They're actually part of the surface. So mm-hmm. It just expands the surface area, basically. So, you know, what you've got here in this, say you've got an inch of the, you've actually, if you were to stretch that out, it would be like quite long,
wow.
You know, because of the microvilli. So I remember a fact that said if you were to stretch out the surface area of the small intestine, it would cover a tennis court.
No, it wouldn't.
Yeah. Because of the microscopic microvilli all the way through the small intestine, the surface area is massive within us.
Wow.
Isn't that incredible? I don't know how
that's
they figured that out.
Wild.
But I remember hearing that and I was like, what? I went on a side quest there too. I'm sorry about that.
But no complaints from us.
But I do like to think, like I remember thinking, oh my gosh, how can that fit within our belly? But
yeah,
like I said to you in the break, that's God math.
Yeah, God math.
So anyway, all those microvilli help with the absorption of nutrients. Okay, so nutrients get absorbed across the barrier wall of the intestine into the bloodstream. And when you have what we call intestinal permeability, so that can be anything from IBS mm-hmm. or just simply, you've got a gut ache and things aren't moving as well as they could be or moving way too fast.
Yeah.
That's also going to kind of stretch those gaps. So how can I put this? So our small intestine, the cells in our small intestine are put together, they're called by tight junction cells, okay, so they're tight junction gaps, which means that each cell in this small intestine is really, really close together. There's no wiggle room in between those cells, okay? So that's a tight gap junction. When you have intestinal permeability, those gaps loosen because of inflammation.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, and so things that shouldn't be going between the cells and into the bloodstream go between the cells and into the bloodstream. And things that would normally cross the cell through the cell into mm-hmm. the bloodstream don't because of the inflammation and the immune system going, nope, 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 we've got a problem here, you know, workmen on site can't come through. And that's what happens when there's inflammation, iron won't absorb as well because iron needs to go through the cell. It won't go through the tight gap junction. And there's workmen on site going, yep, you can't come through.
That's so mean of them.
Yeah. So, so that's kind of how, you know, don't know where that came from, that analogy, but and it's close enough.
Like you said, we totally understand. So that is for things like IBS, like you said, or if things are moving too quickly through our system.
Yes.
That part of what you've explained.
Yeah, the intestinal permeability can, yes, yeah. And then that creates a storm, really, or can create a storm in your gut because what we're talking about at the moment is just simply the immune system and the physiology, anatomy of the immune the gut system, right? But there is a whole microbiome that lives in there as well. So you've got loads of bacteria in there and they come into play also.
What are we talking about?
Oh my gosh, we're talking about the gut, intestinal permeability.
You've gotten me excited about the gut.
Oh, and I could talk about it for ages, so I've got to really be careful that I don't go off on tangents or go too much in depth. But you asked me the question, what is leaky gut?
Yes, I've heard of it, but I've never known what. I've got a picture in my head, but I don't think it's the right picture.
Basically, it's what we're talking about. Okay. Intestinal permeability is leaky gut.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's just intestinal permeability just means that your gut is leaking bits into the bloodstream that it shouldn't be, and that's creating inflammation. That's what leaky gut is. Yeah. And where bacteria come into this, so I sort of touched on that or led into that in our last talk. Mm. So when you've got particles in the gut that shouldn't be there or that have been there too long, and that's because of this inflammation and, you know, everything, the gut, the bacteria that live in your gut, they require a special diet. A certain of proteins and carbohydrates and fiber and all and, you know, fats and all of those things. They
I thought you were
going to
say like fries and burgers and they can call up and
get a
pizza.
Well, there are certain bacteria that like those sorts of
foods,
but we don't want a lot of them. Otherwise, you end up with another common term called SIBO, which stands for small intestinal bacterial overgrowth.
And is that a bad thing?
That creates leaky gut.
Because say that again, SIBO.
SIBO, so S-I-B-O.
Yes.
Stands for small intestinal bacterial overgrowth.
Okay.
Yes. So we have, as I mentioned, we're a walking microbiome. We have bacteria everywhere, even on our skin. Our gut is one of the biggest areas of bacteria, like environments. That's what microbiome is. It's the environment. Mm. Our microbiota is the actual population of the microbiome. And we have millions upon millions of bacteria in our gut. Loads of different genus, loads of different strains. Some are really good. Some we only want a very, very small amount because, like, they're good, but too much of them and we have problems. So it's a real balance that we're looking for.
Do you know what, Em? I'm so glad that all of that is invisible. Like, I'm so glad I can't see the bacteria in me, on me, around me, on you, in you.
Yeah.
Because I think that would be quite a scary sight. But they're all doing kind of what they need to.
That's right, yeah.
We need it to survive and to be protected.
We do. Alrighty, so we've been talking about intestinal permeability. If you have intestinal permeability, and you will probably know because you'll be experiencing some of the symptoms, gut symptoms. So whether that's food that's digesting too fast or too slow. Mm-hmm. I won't go into detail, but I think everyone understands what I mean by that, how you can tell whether it's too fast or too slow.
Yes.
1 to 2 times a day is good. let's leave it at that. moving on. Any pain, wind, all those sorts of things, that they're all signs of intestinal, possible intestinal permeability. So a simple way to help build that wall, again, rebuild that wall, if we remember the gap junctions that I was talking about, how they're sort of separating, glutamine is a really key nutrient for rebuilding those tight gap junctions. And you can get a glutamine powder, mm-hmm. But you want to make sure that you're getting a pretty good one. So I would talk to a pharmacist. Some pharmacists know, you know, what good products, the good products are.
Nice.
Or a naturopath, of course.
Yes.
You can always ask a naturopath. But you can also just, you know, bone broth. Bone broth is such a really good, which is obviously hard for vegans and vegetarians.
Yeah.
But bone broth is a really good way to start rebuilding the walls of your intestine because it's filled with glutamine. It's got collagen in it. It sort of helps build that gooiness again,
if that
makes sense. And those sorts of foods, anything that's a little bit gelatinous as well, so including seeds like chia seeds or flax seeds, psyllium husks, because they all kind of create a gel when you add liquid.
Yes.
Imagine that's what it's doing in your gut as well, because there's liquid in your gut, obviously. And so that helps soothe that inflammation and rebuild those walls.
Now, I have to tell you, bone broth has become a bit of a staple in my family.
Has it?
Is it my favourite? No. But do I know that it's good for me? Yes. And you've confirmed that.
You can use bone broth in as to cook with. So make risottos out of your bone broth. Delicious.
Can you give me a good recipe?
I certainly can.
This has been so, so good. Thank you very much for coming in. What can we look forward to next week?
Oh, I'd really like to continue talking about the gut, to be honest. But I think maybe I might look at that in relation to another nutrient and deficiency. So maybe B12 we might go, because B12 and iron are kind of related.
Breakfast Show family, Emma's going to be back next Thursday from 7 o'clock. If you've got any questions, if you've got any concerns, please be sure to send through an email, listen@963.com.au, and Em will be in touch with you. Em, we love you so much. Appreciate
love you.
And thank you that we are
wonderfully made.
Right on point.